I want you to take your Bibles and stand. We're not worshiping the Word, but we are worshiping the God of this Word. We're taking our Bibles and we're going to Psalms chapter 8. Psalms chapter 8. And notice what David said to us. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent or how majestic is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and avenger. David said, when I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou carest for him? You know, I want to begin a new series of messages today entitled, It's All About Him. It's All About Him. I've often said that we need to have thinkets around us and not trinkets. We need to have things that are going to cause us to think. And today, no matter which campus you're in, we have an armband for you. And the armband simply says, it's all about Him. We need to be reminded of that it's all about the Lord Jesus. This week, we lost a giant. Dr. Billy Graham graduated with honors and went home to be with the Lord, 99 years of age. I remember years back, I was in a meeting in Boone, North Carolina, and I was in a meeting with his son, Franklin. And they had just opened the Billy Graham Library. And I said to Franklin, I said, Brother Franklin, I want to go see the library. He said, well, let me tell you about when I took Dad through it for the very first time. I think he said he actually rode his dad through it in a wheelchair. But he said, I took Dad through it the very first time, and we got to the end of the library, and I said, Dad, what do you think about all this? And he said, this is what Daddy said. He said, Franklin, too much about me and not enough about him. Too much about me and not enough about him. When folks, I believe we can agree, it should be all about Jesus. All about Jesus. Billy Graham preached a crusade in Australia, and he was bidding a farewell to the people there in Australia, and this is what he said. He said, I hope you will soon forget about me, except to pray for me. I know it is from your heart, but you're applauding the wrong person. You're taking pictures of the wrong person. I'm here to represent Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To Him be the glory and the praise and the honor. I want to talk to you today about praise His name. Praise His name. Now, what is praise? Praise is simply expressing esteem for a person, and it's lifting up their virtues and accomplishments. I want to talk to you about praising the Lord and why we should praise the name of the Lord. Let me say something first of all. God fully deserves our praise. God fully deserves our praise. And if we don't praise Him, the rocks will cry out. Amen? God fully deserves our praise. Notice what the Scripture says in Psalms 8 and 1. It says, O Lord, how excellent or how majestic is your name in all the earth. God deserves our praise. I heard about a grandfather that was he'd been married for about 65 years, and he would always refer to his wife as sweet thing, or sugar plum, or darling, or honey. And they'd been married for 65 years. And finally, his grandson said, Grandfather, you always call her sugar dumpling. You always call her sweet thing. You always call her honey. Why do you do that? He said, well, to be honest with you, he said, I forgot her name about 5 years ago. And he said, I'm afraid to ask her what it is. Now, I want to make a statement, folks. This sounds elementary, but it's probably a little complex. I think it's probably profound. I truly believe to really understand his name, you've got to forget your own. Rarely do I say something worth writing down, that original. But I really believe to really understand his name, you got to forget your own. God deserves our praise. Now, why does God deserve our praise? The scripture tells us in our text, he deserves our praise because of his awesomeness. He deserves our praise because of his awesomeness. See, the Bible says this in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you to understand, it matters not what any liberal school tells you. It matters not what any state school tells you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created the hills. God created everything. God created everything. In the beginning, God. Somebody said, Pastor, where did God come from? In the beginning, God. He was the beginning. Amen? John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, this God that I'm preaching about, he created 100 billion galaxies. He took his finger and put 100 billion galaxies out there. Literally, this God that I'm preaching about, he created a sun. How big is the sun? It's larger than 1 million Earths. And he took his finger and he placed it out there. He created 100 octillion stars. 100 octillion stars. I really don't know how much that is, but it's more than your wife spends on Christmas. I'm talking 100 octillion stars. And not only did he create 100 octillion stars, but literally he named every one of them. Now see, folks, all we can comprehend is heaven and earth, because we exist in that space. But I want you to know, God existed when that did not exist. God existed when heaven and earth did not exist. He didn't begin when the beginning began. He began the beginning. He didn't start with start. He started start. Before there was a was, ladies and gentlemen, he was. He was the awesomeness of God. And apparently one night, David looked up into the skies, and in verse 3 of the text, he said, when I considered the heavens and the work of thy fingers, when I considered the heavens, you know, if I pick up something, I use my hand, I use my wrist, I use my arm, I use my shoulder. Early this morning at 5 o'clock, I was at the gym. It's pretty obvious I don't lift weights. I'd lift them if they weren't so heavy. But this is what I know. If I'm going to pick up a paper clip, just take my fingers and do it. I don't need my hand. I don't need my arm. I don't need my shoulders. It's just a paper clip. Folks, our God's so awesome. He took a finger and said, there's the sun. He took a finger and said, the 8 planets right over here. 100 octillion stars. He just took a finger. Oh, folks, we serve an awesome God. See, you say, well, Pastor Benny, is it true that one time that Satan was the angelic archangel, and he was in heaven, and there was this great battle, and the archangels sided with Lucifer, and there was this great battle in heaven. Part of that's true, but I want you to understand, it wasn't a great battle. No. If you're seeing it as a great battle, you've missed it. Because you know what? Look what Luke says. Luke says, but if with the finger of God cast out devils, it wasn't a great battle. God just gave him the finger. God just gave him the finger. No. Don't you get in your mind. It wasn't so great. It wasn't no great battle, because God is the greatest of the great. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And there's nobody like him. See, folks, he deserves our praise because of his awesomeness. But now I want you to compound this awesomeness. But not only his awesomeness, but I want you to see his attention. Look what verse 4 says. What is man that thou art mindful of him? You know what God does, folks? God does what Willie Nelson sings. You were always on my mind. I'd like to tell you that I always think about God, but I don't. I think about a lot of other things. But you know, God's always thinking about me. God's always thinking about you. You know what God said? I just can't get you off my mind. I can't get you off my mind. This God, this awesome God, this God that I've just described, but he's constantly thinking about you. You're constantly on his mind. You say, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm going through a difficult time right now. Well, look what Psalms 40 and 17 says. But I am poor and needy. Yet, he's thinking about me. I'm poor and needy, but did you ever get your phone and somebody sends you a text? This is a real blessing to me, a pastor of a large church, when I get a text and they don't ask me to do anything. When I get a text and they say, hey, Pastor, I don't want you to do anything. I'm just thinking about you. I just prayed for you. Just makes me want to charge hell with a water pistol. Just thinking about you. Just had you on my mind. Well, think about this. God's always thinking about you. Now what does God think about us? Well, Jeremiah tells us. Look. Folks, if you got down what I'm preaching today, it would make a backslid Episcopalian shout. Look, what is he thinking about us? He said, for I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. I want to give you a hope and future. I want to bless you. What's God thinking? God's thinking, how can I bless her? I want to bless. What I'm thinking about is not what bad thing I can do for them. I'm thinking about what good thing I could do for them this very moment. See, folks, God deserves our praise because of his awesomeness. God deserves our praise because of attention. But God deserves our praise because of affection. God deserves our praise because of affection. Look what verse 4 says. We're mere mortals that you should think about them. Human beings that you should care for them. God loves you. I want you to understand, it doesn't matter what you've done. There's so much bad in the best of us, and there's so much good in the worst of us, it hardly behooves any of us to talk about the rest of us. It doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. You say, well, Brother Benny, I'm so ashamed of myself. God still loves you. God loves me. God loves us all. Billy Graham was asked, what's your favorite verse of Scripture? And he said, oh, that's easy. It was the one my mother taught me. It was the verse that Mama taught me. John 3:16, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me tell you something. God deserves our praise. I'll tell you something else. God desires our praise. Don't you want to give God what he wants? Don't you want to give God what he wants? Look what Isaiah 43 and 21 says. It says, the people have I formed for myself. they shall show forth my praise. You were made by God for God. C.S. Lewis said, I struggled with this whole issue about praise. And I began to think about, doesn't that seem egotistical of a God? And then C.S. Lewis said, I realized that only through praise can I learn to believe in God's goodness. And only through praise can I learn to believe in God's greatness. He said, I learned that only through praise, that my praise creates joy in my life. That my praise creates thankfulness. That my praise creates spiritual growth. See, folks, I want you to understand, I'm not trying to box anybody in to how they can praise the Lord. I'm not trying to box anybody in. I don't want you to get that. But I want you to know this. Nobody can praise God like you. Nobody has your verbiage. Nobody has your experiences. Nobody has your sense of awe as an individual. Nobody can praise. Nobody, it's kind of like a haircut. You can't delegate it. You can't delegate it. God wants your praise. God desires your praise. God wants a church to be a corporate place. And it's not about this or it's not about that, but it's about bringing honor and glory and praise to Him. It's about bringing praise to Him. It's about lifting Him up. It's about praising Him. See, look what Psalm 66 and 17 says. It says, I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. When praise came from my tongue, what happened? Look at verse 19. But verily God heard me. See, I want you to understand something. God deserves our praise. God desires our praise. There's a third thing. We make a decision concerning praise. See, praise is not about your emotions. It's about your will. Praise is not about your emotions. It's about your will. I read about a lady one time who went to this church. Instead of called and chosen, they were cold and frozen. Had a doctor bottle stopper in the pulpit. Let me tell you something, folks. If you've got Dr. Jack Frost in the pulpit, you'll have icicles in the pews. Monkey see, monkey do. I'll promise you that. And a lady went to that church, and she, during service, she said, praise the Lord. And every eye looked at her. And again, she said, praise the Lord. And one of the deacons stepped down and said, we don't do that here. We don't do that. We don't do that here. And she again said, praise the Lord. And the pastor from the pulpit said, get her out of here. And they came picking her up, carrying her out. She just kept praising the Lord. Yeah, she just kept praising the Lord. Somebody heard her say these words. She said, oh, I'm so honored to be like you, Jesus. I'm so honored to be like you, Jesus. I'm so honored to be like you, Jesus. It was a donkey that carried you into Jerusalem, and it's two that's carrying me out. I'm so honored to be like you, Jesus. See, this is what I can tell you, folks. Praise is not driven by emotions, but it's by your will. And when you decide to praise, listen, it changes your mood. It changes your mood. I can prove this by the Bible. Look what Isaiah says in Isaiah 61 and 3. To point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You say, Pastor Benny, I've got heaviness in my life. What's the answer? It's praise. It's the garment of praise. You know, this morning I didn't look, folks, and say, you know, Barbara, this jacket I've got on, I don't know how it got on. It was in the closet hanging, and miraculously, it's on me. No, it didn't work that way, folks. And let me tell you what I did. I had to walk to the closet and get the jacket out, and I had to put it on. I know this is deep. I had to put it on. Oh, folks, you've got to understand. You've got to put your praise on. You've got to put your praise on. You got to put your praise on. Sure you do. Because what it does, it changes your mood. I was talking to a man this week. He's in this service, so this story is accurate. He can test it. He was talking to me about somebody owed him a large amount of money. And he said, boy, I hope they pay me a large amount of money. I hope they pray. I am so mad. He didn't know it. I was already praying about that money because I'm expecting to tithe on that money. I started praying. But you know what I said to this man? I said, but you know, God's been so good to you. God's been so good to you. He's given you plenty of work. He's given you a beautiful family. I said, God's been so, and you know what that man said? He said, you know, God has been so good. God's been so good to me. He said, you know what, preacher? I'm moving down there closer because I want to hear you preach more. And I want to be in church more. And I want to be involved more. What happened? His mood changed when we started praising the Lord. Yours will too. Yours will too. Mine will too. Oh, our mood. But not only our mood, but our motivation. See, folks, I believe when we praise the Lord, it just gives us energy. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It just gives us energy, supernaturally. I told Barbara, I said, I took some cold medicine the other day, and I said, it's made me so hyper. She said, my goodness, how can you tell? I just believe when we praise the Lord, it gives us motivation. But I'll tell you what, folks. When we praise the Lord, it helps our mood. It helps motivation. But I believe this. I believe it helps marriages. I believe it helps marriages. You know, sometimes, folks, we all go through pity parties. The only thing about a pity party, nobody comes to your party and nobody brings a gift. And sometimes we go through these down times. Barbara and I have gone through them and I'm complaining. I'm complaining about this and I'm complaining about that. She'll say, but you know, Benny, God's been good to us. I'll say, God has. He has. Well, we got married and lived in a little trailer. I mean, literally, I could throw down my handkerchief and have carpet wall to wall. God's been so good to us. Hadn't God been better to you than you ever fathom, folks? Hadn't he? Sure he has. Now, let me give you the last point. If you get finished before I do, just slip out. We are different once we understand the names of God. We are different once we understand the names of God. Showed me something this week. Verse 4 of Psalms says this, 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, but wait, and bless his name. The name comes in there. Do you get that? The name. Look what Hebrews 13 and 15 says. By him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Benny? This is the BTV translation. That means Benny Tate version. Offer up the sacrifice of praise. It means praise him when you feel like it and praise him when you don't. Okay. To God continually, that's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now get this. I'm going to spend 4 weeks. I'm going to take us right up to Easter. And I'm going to talk about the names of God. But the name of God that's used the most is the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh. You say, well, Pastor, the word Yahweh is translated Jehovah, right? You're exactly right. The Hebrew word Yahweh is translated to the English word Jehovah. Well, when I'm reading my Bible, how do I know if it's the word Yahweh? When you see Lord in caps, it's the word Yahweh. And it's in your Bible better than 6,800 times. Yahweh. Well, Pastor, where does this thing begin? Where does this name Yahweh, the self-existing one, where does it actually start? Well, you remember when God called Moses and said, Moses, I want you to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said these words in Exodus 3 and 11. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go forth unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, when I first read that, I thought, what humility. But I don't believe it was humility. I'll tell you what I believe it was. Keep in mind, Moses had killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. And I believe Moses was saying, God, after what I've done, can you still use me? By the way, I've wondered that a few times in my life. See, folks, this drives the English teachers. I drive English teachers crazy, period. I preach at a Baptist church tomorrow night in Alabama. And I was preaching it 1 year ago, and I went back to the door, and some lady said, Dr. Tate. I said, yes. She said, what a challenging message. I said, thank you. She said, there were 13 grammatical errors. I said, but you don't understand. I had to give up 50% of my vocabulary when I got saved. You know why God uses people who made a mess of their lives? Because there ain't no other kind. Not no other kind. And Moses said, you know what? I've made a mess. And then Moses said in verse 13 of that scripture, when the children of Israel shall say, have sent me. And when they say, what's your name? What am I supposed to tell them? He said, you just tell them, I am. You just tell them I am. You know, that's John 8 and 58 says, Jesus said these words. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Yahweh, the self-existing one. The one that always has been, the one that always will be. See, there was no way for it to be a complete sentence. There was no way to end it. And the reason why there was no way to end it, I believe what he was saying is, I am the maker of the heavens. I am the bright and morning star. I am the water walker. I'm the one who calmed the seas. I am the miracle worker. I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am he that died and rose again. I am the soon coming king. I am the King of kings and Lord of lords. I am. Maybe they said, elaborate a little bit more. And he said, I am hope. I am peace. I am joy. I am rest. I am your comfort and relief from your stress. I am strength. I am faith. I am love. I am power. I am freedom. This very hour, I am. like me. I am. Nobody like Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you something. He deserves our praise. And I want you to know, I don't know what you need, but I know Jesus Christ is the answer. I don't know what you're going through. You say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. You don't need to talk to me. You need Jesus. You need to talk to Him. You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus, 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 ladies and gentlemen. You say, but we got a situation in our family. You bring it to Jesus. We got a situation. We need healing. You bring that to Jesus. We got a problem we can't work out. You bring that to Jesus. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above Him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Him. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Him. Nobody like You, Lord Jesus.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that You died for my sin, and I confess my sin to You right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank You, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank You for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.